As a little boy, I used to like to read in the back page of Jewish Press. It would be the stories from Arnold Fine. He'd always talk about I Remember When. I always thought it was very strange. He would tell all these stories about when he was a little boy, and it seems like it was like a different world. And then I realized as I'm getting older, I said all the stories I remember when I was a little boy, stuff also I remember when. But when you think about Tu B'Shvat, I walk into the stores today, right before Tu B'Shvat, it's a whole new world, different world than the world that even I grew up in. And I remember as a little boy, my father, Hashalom, would buy buksa. He would buy bucks at it in the Lower East Side weeks before Tu B'Shvat. We'd sit, we'd soak it in days and days until it would become almost what we would call Royal Achilas Adam, maybe. B'Shas Adchach, in a good year, it would be Royal Achilas Adam. Instead, everything would be bought fresh and raw, and you know, we had to prepare everything itself. People would cut up fruit, they make fruit salads, all kind of stuff. Today, you go to the store, and you buy a box that says 15 fruit in it, and nobody cuts anything, nobody peels anything, nobody chops anything anymore. All the shadows I'm going to talk about are totally moot. I said, Imkos, we have to talk a little bit about Tu B'Shvat falls out on Shabbos, so there has to be some shadows that come up. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the issues that, for those few people who still prepare fruit on their own, so what are some of the issues to be aware of, not just this Shabbos, but in a sense, every Shabbos. Even though nobody formally asked me the shadow this week, people have asked me the shadow over the years. So we'll see if we can make it to Allah Chalamayis Shia. So the first issue that comes up whenever we speak about any type of eating fruit on Shabbos is a question concerning peeling the fruit. How much did it peel? What are the parameters of peeling? What potential is involved in peeling fruit? So the sugya begins in the first of the Mamakamos. It's a Ramah at the very end of Simon Shinchof Aleph in Arachayim. Ramah quotes from Mishonim who base themselves on a Yerushalmi. Also, Liklof Shumim Ubitzolim Kishakolef Lahaniach Avalecha Lialta Shari. The Ramah quotes from the Rishonim that one is not permitted to peel garlic or onions if one is planning on eating the garlic and onions at a later point during the day. This has nothing to do with Hachana. He's not preparing it for after Shabbos. He's going to eat it on Shabbos. But he's preparing it Shabbos morning to be eaten at Shalosh Shudis. So that's the problem. However, if he peels it just to eat for immediate use, that's going to be permissible. The question is, where did this come from? What kind of halacha is this that... Is it a malacha or is it not a malacha? So the answer is that, at least according to many poskim, this is a potential malacha of borer. Borer is one of the lametes malachos. One is not allowed to separate in the preparation of different things in the Mishkan. So let's say, even though the Mishkan per se maybe didn't involve making bread, but we usually speak about what we call to do with pas, the order of making bread. When you have flour, and now you want to, sometimes some dirt gets into the flour, so you're going to have to pull out some of the dirt, pull out some of the pebbles, some of the stuff, the dirt that got mixed into the flour. So that's the potential problem of, that's the malacha of borer. Anytime you begin to separate good and bad, or bad from good, so you potentially run into a malacha of borer. The Gemara tells us in Masech Shabbos, in the 7th parak, that sometimes borer is permissible. One of the conditions that permits borer is if it's done for immediate use. Some malachas, there is such a heter called la'alta, done for immediate use, other malachas not. Let's say you wouldn't say, well, mutra turn on the light as long as it's for immediate use. That wouldn't work. But the malacha b'ayir, we'll see why that's so in a moment. The malacha b'ayir, if it's done for immediate use, then sometimes it's going to be permissible. That seems to be what's driving this Ramah. When the Ramah is differentiating between peeling the garlic and the onions for immediate use in contrast to later use, so separating the peel from the garlic and the onion seems to smack of the malacha of b'ayir. If it's done la'alta, if it's done for right away, then it's okay. If it's done la'aniyah for later time, then it poses a problem. So the only problem with this Ramah is that those facts are not 100% accurate the way I just portrayed them. That there is no absolute heter gomer of doing things for immediate use, even in the malacha of borer. Bir halacha, in the second of the Bar Mekamos, raises a question. L'chora yesh l'dakte. Bir halacha, written by the Mishnah Berurah, points out the following problem with this Ramah. The kevin de koleis b'chla borerhu, since we're assuming that peeling is included in the malacha of borer, if you deny that, so then there's nothing else to talk about in terms of this part of the sugya, then we're going with the assumption that peeling is like borer, litza afil lechaliyot, that it should be prohibited even if it's being done for immediate use. Why? The amisha kolef tapuchim v'shumim v'bitzolim, any type of person peels, whether it's apples, whether it's onions, whether it's garlics,
The derech of peeling is you remove the bad from the good. And that makes all the difference in the world. Because in Hilchas Borer, when do we say that Borer le'alta Borer for immediate use is permissible? That's only when I'm taking the good from the bad. But if I take the bad from the good, so that's the problem, even if it's being done for immediate use. So it comes to be Allah and Kedinim, whose client is Baal Le'el B'Simin Shin Yutes. It has already been explained earlier. The psolas mitoch ochel afil li'al techayev. If a person removes bad from good, even for mamash right away, that would be a malacha d'araisa. So it comes to be Allah and says, if we're patterning the dinim of kolif, the dinim of peeling fruit, peeling vegetables, after the regular rules of Borer, to go back to the ABCs of Borer, and you realize that la'alter is not an absolute helter. La'alter is only mutter combined together with ochel mitoch psolas, which is clearly missing and lacking in the case of peeling. So the Mishnah Berurah throws his hands up and says, what's the answer? How can it be that when it comes to peeling, all of a sudden we become so makil and we somehow forget about the condition of ochel mitoch psolas? So the Berlacha continues and gives us a fundamental principle about the Melacha Borer. If you think about it, the Melacha Borer is a very, very difficult Melacha because the differences, the nuances between what's mutter and what's asur in HaTorah are so minuscule. If I take good and bad, if I take good from bad and I do it for right away, then it's okay. But if I take bad from good, that's a nisa deraisa. If I do it for right away, it's okay. If I do it for later, then it's asur. Where do we find such things? And what about the Melachot on Shabbos? If I take a pencil and I write two letters, that's a Melacha deraisa. It doesn't matter if I'm doing it for now, for later. If I take a piece of raw food and cook it, it doesn't matter whether I'm doing it for now or later. What's the difference? How come we find some these strange conditions that the Gemara begins to delineate? Sometimes it's mutter, sometimes it's asa, sometimes it's chayah, sometimes it's dachayah. Where did all this come from? So the Be'alocha says that the basic yisod is very, very simple. Borer is a very strange malacha because to one person it's called borer, to another person it's called I'm eating. If you think about it, in the normal process of eating, there's always borer that takes place. A person is burrowing their mouth when you're eating. You put a piece of food into your mouth. Sometimes there's a pit, there's something in it. You spit it out. That's called malacha. That's called burrow. Obviously not. Obviously the Torah didn't prevent the person from eating on Shabbos. So whenever you look at an action that begins to resemble borer, the question you have to ask yourself is as follows. Does this fall under the category of what's called derech achila? Or does this fall under the category called derech malacha? It's a very, very fine line. But if it's derech achila, then it's permissible. If it's derech malacha, that is prohibited. What factors go into measuring? How would you begin to assess whether something is derech achila or derech malacha? The Chazal understood that there are certain factors that are usually have to be taken into consideration. One factor is, are you doing it for now or are you doing it for later? Achila, by definition, means I'm doing something now. So anytime I do an act of borer for a later point in the day, that's automatically disqualified from the heter of derech achila. Another condition that usually is used to delineate whether something is derech achila, whether something is derech malacha, is am I ultimately taking the good or taking the bad? When you eat, well, obviously you're taking the good. The goal of eating is to get the good and to leave the bad behind. So if the derech of what you're doing is getting the good towards you and removing bad away from getting the good towards you and leaving the bad where it is, that's more prone to derech achila. If what you're doing is pushing the bad away, so that begins to resemble more derech malacha. It says to be halacha, when all the factors add up together, that it's ochel mitoch psolas, and it's being done for immediate use, there's a third factor called being done with your hands, not with a sieve or a sifter or something like that. When all the factors all add up together, and it gives off that image of derech achila, then it becomes permissible. If any of those factors are missing, then it no longer resembles derech achila. So it says to be halacha, those factors, those rules of ochel, psolas, and for immediate use, later use, those are not absolutes. Those are ways to measure, to make a proper and accurate assessment, is this derech achila or is it derech malacha? It says to be halacha, what if you would have a situation where it's impossible to do it ochel mipsolas? No normal person does it ochel mipsolas. Even when you eat, you do psolas mi ochel. It says to be halacha, if you have one particular scenario where it's just normal eating habits don't lend itself to being done ochel mipsolas, then that condition no longer exists. If that condition would have been an absolute ironclad chayv lo yavor condition, not negotiable, then the fact that you can't do it, you can't do it. So you can't do it, it's still a problem. But once you tell me that ochel mipsolas versus psolas mitoch ochel is only way of measuring derech achila. So if it becomes derech achila in the other way, so be it. That's also called derech achila. It says the bi halacha, that's the key when it comes to peeling. So at the end of the second line, venira, the kevin de e evshar beinyan achia. Can someone explain to me how are you going to peel something taking ochel sauce? Imagine you're about to peel a banana. There are two ways to get to the banana. You can either take off the peel, which is sauce the ochel, or in theory, you could push your hand in, shove your hand in, stick it into, it's like the monkeys eat, you shove it into your mouth and extract almost the ochel from the psoas. That's not there. That's meshuggah. That's crazy. The normal way of eating a banana is to peel the banana. I gevalt, it's psoas mit the ochel. There's the belacha. Who cares? The halacha doesn't care that it's psoas the ochel, because since that's the derech achila on peeling, that becomes derech achila, no longer derech bayrer. So says the Bialocha, that's the Yisrael David. So Venir, the Kev, the Yevshev, the Nachia, the Derech HaChilos, the Bekach, the Mikmi Psalos, the Teich Oichel, She'eno El Alecho HaToch, the Choshuli Al Tashari, of Allah Haniach Osur. But if a person peels, let's say, the banana for later, or peels the onion and the garlic for later, that's for sure a problem. The other Biyach Matav Solas, even if we're going to halachically claim that removing a peel is like the equivalent of Ochel Mipsolas, but it still has to be done for immediate use. If it's done for later, that automatically is disqualified from being called derech achila. What the Be'al Lacha just told us is a fundamental principle in Hilchos Boreir, that every time we look at the conditions of Boreir, the real question we have to ask ourselves is, are we mimicking derech achila, or are we too much resembling derech melacha? If the answer is derech achila, then it's okay, even if we're a little bit off in terms of the ochel and psoles dimension. So where does this place us l'maaseh in terms of peeling? Basically, anytime you want to peel anything on Shabbos, as long as you do it for immediate use, it should be okay. Person wants to peel an orange, it's fine, as long as you want to eat it now. If you peel an orange at 8 o'clock in the morning to eat it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that may be a sederaita. Person wants to peel a banana, no problem if you're doing it for now. If you peel a banana and put it aside and leave it for 5 hours from now, that could be a sederaita b'ira. But if you're peeling a banana to eat right away, that should be absolutely hetzavam. So comes the Mishnah Berurah in the third of the Maamar Kamos and extrapolates from the Shumra B'Tzalim. Shumra B'Tzalim were the two examples that the Ramah quoted from the Rishonim, the case of the garlic and the onions. So says the Mishnah Berurah, for hu adin tapuchim, the same would be true for apples. First one's to peel an apple. Well, again, the same story. If you peel the apple now for now, then it's okay. If you peel the apple for later, then it's a problem. Or simply, the egozim, first one's to crack a nut. Is the ones to have a nut on Shabbos. Okay, if you break off the nut, which is like the peeling of the fruit, if you're doing it for right now, that's called derech achila. It's okay. But it's psoas be'eichel, it's terrible. So the answer is, oh, that's no. How else do you need the nut? The only way to get to the nut is to take off the peel. Ushkedim, yes, in Yadim, tu b'shvat, shkedi ha'parachat. So it's, you want to eat an almond, you want to eat an almond, it's the same thing, it's all the same, it's all the same exact yesod. So the Sharatzion in the fourth of the Ramah Kavah, Sharatzion is the notes of the Mishnah Berurah himself. So after the Mishnah Berurah, in the Sefer Mishnah Berurah, expanded from the Ramah. The Ramah started out with garlic and onions. The Mishnah Berurah said, what's the difference? Garlic, onions, apples, almonds, regular nuts, all the same story. Says the Sharatzion in the fourth of the Ramah Kavah, not so simple. The Primogodim Kasav Tzorach Iyun. The Primogodim raised the question about this extrapolation. The Magen Avraham was the one who compared the apples to the garlic and the onions, and the Prima Gadim, the Perish and the Magen Avraham, is not so sure that comparison is correct. What's the difference? The Klipas HaTapuchim Rov Olim Ochlim Osokach Belo Docha. He says, wait a second, people eat apple peels. That's normal to eat apple peels. You personally want to peel an apple, you happen not to prefer the apple peels, but the question is that called Boreir altogether? The ABCs of Boreir is that it has to be a separation of Oichel and Psoles. How do you define psoilas? Psoilas means something people don't eat. So a banana peel, nobody eats a banana peel. An orange peel, nobody eats an orange peel. So if you peel those kinds of fruit, then you're in the parasha of Boreir, and then you have to figure out, is it for immediate use or not immediate use? If you're peeling an apple, so who cares whether it's for immediate use? I want to peel an apple now, put it in the fridge, leave it for 6 hours from now. I'll make the fruit salad later. I want to give the peeling now. Says the people got him, what's the shayla? He says, why is that called psoilas altogether? According to that Prima Gadim, one could argue maybe it would be okay even Lahaniach. So we're not sure. So we're not exactly sure what the Magen Avraham meant. In the days of the Magen Avraham, perhaps nobody ate the apple peel. That's one possibility. or for some reason the Magen Avraham somehow felt that the outfields are still somehow considered to be Bara, which we don't quite understand why. Okay, so that becomes a little bit tricky. So how much do you not want it? So that means I, Bishum Pan of Ofen, will never ever eat an apple peel? So then you may be right. But what about the kind of a person who sometimes eat an apple peel, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes like to peel the apples, sometimes they don't like to peel the apples. So it depends. If your personally, your eating habits are such that if the soul is going for you, then you may have a point. But if that's not necessarily the case, and most people don't consider it to be such a terrible psolus, that would be a whole different story. So the truth is that this issue that the Prebogatim raises becomes a very important issue about peeling a lot of other things. And one of the famous shalas about peeling on Shabbos is cucumber peels. Is cucumber peeling even a malach altogether? Maybe one could argue that the peel of the cucumber is roi lachila. A lot of people eat cucumber peels. I remember when I first came to Kerem Yavne, the first meal, it was served cucumbers. That was the main dish, was cucumbers. And nobody in there just peeled the cucumbers. So the Bachar, I never in my life had seen eating cucumber peels. But I quickly came to the conclusion when Kerem Yavne people. So I started eating cucumber peels. So you have to take case by case and see whether something is even subject to the Malacha Baruch altogether. So Kopan, the first of the potential malachas that we have in terms of preparing of the fruit salad, is the issue of boiris. So the basic klal is, if it's a type of appeal that nobody eats, so then for sure, you have to be careful not to do it for a future use. You have to do it for immediate use, right before you begin the meal. If it's a type of a fruit that people do all eat the peels, and even you sometimes eat the peels, so then that seems to be the issue that the Magen Avraham and the Prebogatim are debating. Why it's mutter to peel for immediate use, what happened to souls with the Chokh being absolutely utter, we have to go down the route of the Mishabura, this understanding that souls and Echel Psolus is more of a function of is a derech achil or not, and that will change depending on whether it becomes impossible to do it any other way. But now the second part of the shiur is there's a totally another different malacha that we deal with when you potentially make fruit salad, or for that matter any salad, vegetable salad as well, and that's another potential malacha of Teuchen. Now the malacha of Teuchen, we conjure up that image of grinding. It's got wheat, and it's mill, it's grindstone, grinding away, turning into flour. That's our imagery of what Teuchen means, but not so simple. The Gemara in the fifth of the Mamakamos speaks about a different type of Teuchen. That Teuchen, Amra Papa, Haiman de Parim Silka, Chayev Mishum Teuchen. If a person cuts into pieces Silka, he's Chayev Mishum Teuchen. The question becomes, what exactly is this Silka? So the Rosh in the sixth of the Mamakamos tells you what silk is, and it tells you what silk is not. It comes to the Rosh and says, I'm on the parm silk. The Rosh quotes from Ben Chananel that the Gemara is referring to some kind of wood, that you somehow, you almost like turning the wood into sawdust. You're doing something to play around with the wood in such a way that it's becoming called kemach dak. It becomes into very, very small, tiny particles. That's the malach of teichin. The truth is that is really parallel. You're chopping in something that is really parallel to teichin of flour. So the chiddush of Rapop is that teichin doesn't only apply to food, like flour, that's the original malacha. It even applies to other kinds of chopping as well, i.e. chopping wood. But then the Rosh makes reference to another pshat, which is Rashi's pshat. Umashe piyush Rashi, the parm silka, shemechatech yirokos dak dak. Silka happens in the Gemara also sometimes means beet, so some kind of a beet-related vegetable. The Rashi says parm silka means you cut a vegetable. You take a knife and you cut a vegetable into little pieces. Now, we know you're not going to turn into sawdust. You're not going to be dust. You can make it into little slices. So comes Rashi and says, that's what the Gemara meant. That's the teichen of the Gemara. So ask the Rosh, Perish Tamuhu, very strange pshat, Dabashu Ochel, Umachatechos, Dak Dak, in Shayach Betchina. He says, if something is food and you just make it into little smaller pieces, what does that mean? What's that Teuchen? The same thing, you can do anything. Teuchen means that you take grain, you can't use the grain in any way. You try to make bread out of a piece of grain. You have to first make it into flour, then you have to mix it into water, then you have to put it into the oven to make a loaf of bread. So the Rosh understood that when Teuchen takes something that can't be used the way it is, and you really improve it, and you chop it into little, tiny, tiny, dusty particles, that's the malachas teichin. Taking a cucumber and cutting into five little pieces, that's not a malach. Taking an apple and cutting into little slices, that's not considered to be a malach. But notwithstanding the Rosh's objection to Shittas Rashi is accepted by many Rishonim, and most importantly for us, it's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch as well. The Shulchan Aruch in the 7th of the Ramah Mekamas, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Aruch Chaim and Simen Shin Chof Aleph, HaMechatech HaYerek Dak Dak Chayev Mishum Toichein. If a person cuts vegetables into very small pieces, he is Chayev Mishum Toichein. And then the Rambam continues on. One would not be able to cut up into little pieces, grogerus, dried figs, or charubim, back to the boxer. You want to, everyone's fasting to have the boxer on Shabbos. Person is hard to digest the boxer, hard to swallow the boxer. If you want to cut into little pieces, so the Rambam says, not so simple. That's the chashash of chotek hasayir, chotek hasayir, pre-dak, dak. But then the Rambam puts the brakes on this system and says, the daf compares the chadayim with the author. Of a multiple file lechem of Natana Goylim, the whole Kvanitkhan in Lochoshtin Teichenacha Teichen, says the Ramah, Bamed the Ramamurim, that there's an issue of Teichen, that's something that was never yet Nitkhan, it was never yet ground up. But something that was already ground up, even though it's subsequently been, in a sense, unground, and turns into something bigger, you want to regrind it up, that's not called Teichen. For example, if you have a piece of bread, and you want to break the bread into little pieces, so that would be, that would technically be okay. Why? Because the bread was already ground up. It was already made from grain into flour. The fact that you took it from flour and mixed it with water and made it into a loaf of bread, now you're grinding it nachamuk to make breadcrumbs, or you want to take a piece of matzah and break it into matzah and make it into matzah meal, that wouldn't be a violation of teichen. And the example the Ramah gives is to feed the chickens. So this is also a little bit in Yonah the Yerma for Shabbos Shira. So it's mutter to feed your chickens on Shabbos because they're your chickens. The Mishnah says that if you have animals that belong to you, that you're responsible to feed, then you're allowed to feed them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If the animals are not yours, you want to just feed the wild animals, the wild birds, that's the problem with the Rabbanan. For different reasons, what exactly the reason is, but the halach is that you're not allowed to feed those animals and birds that are aimed at us and Allah. So therefore, the pasha that Dvarim is that the pigeons that are flying around your backyard, they're not really yours. You're not responsible to feed them. They're not your property. So look over to give them food on Shabbos and Yom Tov would be a problem. It would be an issur d'rabbanan because it's emes anos and alav. So therefore, the poskim point out that those who have the custom of feeding a little bit to the breadcrumbs, cake, or something to the birds this weekend, so the more correct thing to do is to do it on Friday, do it before Shabbos, because to give it to the mamash on Shabbos, that may be a chashash of an issur d'rabbanan of feeding something which is not really yours. But getting back to the talking part of the story, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah both follow Shittas Rashi against the Rosh. They assume that Teichen does apply to fruits and to vegetables. But now the Ramah quotes a very important kula. The Ramah at the end of the second line from the bottom, Aval im la'ochlo miyad akol shari, midin davi abar lecho miyad the shari. This Ramah is quoting from Rashba. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that b'med devam amurim there's an issur of Teichen. That's if you're being Teichen for a later point. But if you're being Teichen for now, that's totally mutter, the same as barer is mutter. How did the Rashba know that? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara only says that about the Malacha of Baira. How did the Rashba know? Apparently, this is a throwback to what the Mishnah Berurah said, that there are certain Malachas that lend themselves more to be called Derech Achila rather than to Derech Malacha. If you think about it, you always Teichin. Whenever you eat your Teichin, you put food in your mouth and you chew an apple, you're being Teichin. So why Anuchum? You can't eat a fruit on Shabbos, it's Teichin. So the answer is that's the late service. That's called Achila, it's not called Malacha. The Ramah says that just as when you're eating it mamish in your mouth, that's called derech achila. If you're taking a knife and you're cutting up an apple, otot right before you're ready to eat it, that's also called derech achila. So the same way that the Gemara had the kul of derech achila for beirer, the Ramah says we can extrapolate, the Rashba and the Ramah says we can extrapolate to the malacha of teichen as well. Other malachas, that's not true. Bishul can never be called derech achila. Bona is never derech achila. Machl patish, those certain malachas don't lend them to be called derech achila. But those very, very few malachas, such as Borim, Tochen, maybe others, but by and large, outside of that realm of malachas, then the whole notion of Derech Achila doesn't make any sense. So the truth is that not everyone agrees to this Rashba. The Rishon Beferish would disagree with this Rashba. There are different opinions in the Achronim. Should we even follow this Rabbah or not? But Akopam, the Ramah, was willing to be, on the one hand, he's machmir against the Rosh. We paskin like Rashi, most of the Rishonim have like Rashi, that Tochen can apply to cutting fruits and vegetables. On the other hand, the Ramah is willing to be mekil, that Nikra did its mutter of its for immediate use. So the Mishnah Berurah in the 8th of the Ramah Kamas is walking a tightrope now about this Ramah. The Mishnah Berurah writes, in the 8th of the Ramah Kamas, the Mishnah Chafal, the Kut Memhei, Shari, when the Ramah quotes from the Rashba that it's mutter for immediate use, that there are those who disagree, those who question this heter. And again, there's a very strong reason to question it, because it doesn't appear in the Gemara. The only heter of the altar appears concerning the Melacha Borer was the comparison of the Rashba that this heter is depending upon. Other Rishonim didn't think it was right. So Gamba Beisayitiv Kosov, Sha'af Misha Mechavin Lecha Miyad, Gamkin Yuzor Lachlech Lechatikos Gedolos Ktsas. So the Mishnah Berurah makes reference to the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says that if a person really wants to rely on this heter, he shouldn't rely on this heter alone. They should do it in the following way. We mentioned that according to Rashi, if a person cuts a vegetable into little pieces, that's called a malacha. How little is little? A person takes an apple, cuts an apple in half. That's a malacha. Takes a banana. Half for that, me, half for you. That's a malacha. That's a teichin. It's obviously a joke. So I cut the apple into quarters. Not a malacha. To eighths. What point do you say that it's considered to be tochen dak dak? That was the Lashon Shulchan Aruch. A mechazek erech dak dak. At what point is it called very, very fine? So we shouldn't feel bad that we don't know the answer to that question. The Rishonim didn't know the answer. The Rebbe Lezmi Mitz, who was the Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Natam, wrote the Sefer Yoreim. He writes in his Sefer that we don't know. We don't have a shiur. We don't have a mesira as to what is called dak dak or what is not called dak dak. Therefore, the Yoreim says, if it looks to us like it's pretty big, it's bigger than you would normally eat during the week, that's probably not called dak dak. If it starts to look really, really small, then you start to get trouble. Where do you draw the line? Very, very. We can't quantify what it is. So therefore, the Beis Yosef writes, if a person really, truly wants to make his fruit salad in Shabbos, wants to make his vegetables, wants to cut his cucumbers, wants to cut his tomatoes, wants to cut his apples, and his whatever other things he wants to cut on Shabbos, so he should do as follows. He should always do it the alpha, always do it right before the meal. It should always be for immediate use. Right before, you're making the final preparations for the meal, so that's okay. Oh, that's right before you're going to sit down for the meal, then it's okay, you can cut your vegetables. But don't cut them too small, because just in case the Rashba is not right, just in case the other Rishonim, the Mefachfakim are right, just in case the other Rishonim who didn't buy into this Hetra are right, the Shava Deraisa, what you should do is make him a little bit bigger than you would normally make him. Now again, we don't want to just give you a glat Hetra and say, well, cut whatever you want as long as it's bigger than usual and can even do that for later in the day, because we never know where that line of demarcation is. So almost like a straight faker, like a tzirif akulah. We say, well, if the Rashba is right, then you're fine. Then you don't have to worry about it. As long as you're doing it right before the meal, everything's great. And even al asad, the Rashba is not right. Maybe the Rashba is not right. As long as the pieces aren't so small, it's probably going to be okay also. And probably in the back of our minds, our best leave is, well, the Rashba, the whole thing doesn't apply anyway. There's no teichin by food anyway because it's just cutting. It's not really teichin. So because of all these reasons, that's what the Mishnah Berurah's recommendation is. And any time a person makes either fruit salad or vegetable salad, any of these kinds of salads on Shabbos, one should be careful of two conditions. One should do it right before the meal, and one should be careful, shouldn't make it too small. These halachas, the Rishonim points out, only apply to things that grow on the ground. If you have, let's say, a piece of chicken, you want to cut a piece of chicken into little pieces, that's okay. You want to cut a piece of meat, you want to cut an egg or something into little pieces, that's okay. One shouldn't use what we call a clear miyuchalakach. If you use something like a grinder, like a mesh, something that's always done, malacha with, that's some kind of a derabon of the dechol. Those are technical issues. But in terms of malachas teichim wouldn't apply to these kinds of things. There's one last issue that comes up, not really so much in terms of Tu B'Shvat, doesn't come up in terms of our fruit salads, but it's a very common shayla relating to a fruit, and that's the issue of teichim on bananas. Bananas, what's the teichim on bananas? People usually don't cut, unless you slice them into your cereal. But what people do for bananas, they mash bananas. And the question is, where does that fit into this picture in terms of preparation of fruit? I want to peel bananas. We said, okay, I'm peeling it for right away, so the bor issue was overcome. I'm peeling the bananas. That's called Eichel Mipsolot. It's not really, but halachically it is. And now I don't want to cut the banana to pieces. I want to mash the banana. Is that a problem or not? So the Chazanish was the biggest machmir on mashing bananas. The Chazanish had two chidushim about mashing bananas. First of all, the Chazanish says he thinks that mashing is like tochein, even though one could have argued that it's not into different pieces, it's the same piece, it's just in a mush, lack of a better halachic term. So the Chazanish says, that doesn't matter, that's also called teichin. Taking a big piece and pulverizing it, making it into one big mushy composition, that's also considered to be a malach of teichin. And number two, the Chazanish said, really three chumas, he said, he doesn't think we should follow the Rashba. We think the Rashba was the Das Yochin and the Rishonim, not within the Rabbah. And number three, says the Chazanish, even according to the Rashba, we think that mashing bananas for immediate use is a problem. Why? Says the Chazanish, what kind of heter is this to say that you can cut things for immediate use? Remember we said, it doesn't make any sense. Is it a malacha or not a malacha? The heter is that when it's done for immediate use, that labels it as derech achila. The Chazanish said, that kula derech achila only makes sense when you're dealing with an action that's not objectively teichin. Cutting an apple is not objectively teichin. Haraya, the Rosh said the whole thing was mutter. What if you would grind grain, right? You would put stuff into your millstone for immediate use? Would anybody say that mutter on Shabbos? Chaz Mishnah, that would be an issur d'oraisa of teichin. Why? Tochen itself is not mutter for immediate use. Only those types of tochen that are not real tochen, those types of tochen that could almost go either way, that could fluctuate, maybe it's derech achila, maybe it's derech malacha, if you do it for immediate use, that could tip the balance in the favor that it's called derech achila. Meshim bin Adis says the Chaznish is so bad, it's such tochen, that it's tochen gomor, and no heterim in the world are going to help for it. No immediate use, even according to the Rashba, Kavachem, we don't follow the Rashba, says the Chaznish. So therefore, in one fell swoop, the Chaznish said, mash a banana, even for right away, is mamshu malacha d'oraisa. Then the Chaznish turned around and said, but if you want to do it, you can do it with the back of a spoon. You can do it in an abnormal fashion, then it becomes heter gomor. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that he didn't understand neither the chumr the Chaznish, nor the kul the Chaznish. He says, Rav Moshe thought, first of all, mikra din, we follow the Rashba. Second of all, the Rashba should apply to the mashing also. Third of all, says Rav Moshe, I don't think mashing is a malach altogether. I don't even think it's teichin. Teichin by definition means you take one entity and you break it up into a million little entities. That's what grinding grain is. It used to be one stalk of grain. Now it's a million particles of flour. And by a banana, it was one big fat banana. Now it's still one big mesh, mushed up banana. So you didn't cut it into little pieces. So kozman, you haven't broken it into little pieces. By definition, that's not called teichin. The mush is forget. Meshing bananas is better than cutting apples. Cutting apples, you have to do it for right away. Meshing bananas, you can do it for later in the day also. He doesn't think there's any problem. So Rav Moshe writes, he thinks the Ikra Din, the whole Chum of the Chaznish is not correct. But according to the Chaznish, who thought it was Asar, he doesn't understand the Kula. Because if it's really an Issa D'oraisa, then doing it in an abnormal fashion doesn't mean it's Mutter. It usually makes it a Dirabanan. It should still be Asar the Dirabanan, says Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, I understand. If you want to tell me it's totally Mutter, that I understand. That's what I think is right. If you want to tell me it's Asar D'oraisa and there's no way out of it, that I can understand. I don't agree with it, but I can understand. You want to tell me it's also the rice, but doing it with the back of a spoon makes it into butl chachila? That I don't understand, says Moshe. How should we be knowing? Says Moshe in the end of the tshuva, even though I don't agree with the Chazanish, he says, but in deference to the godless of the Chazanish, I think we should follow the Chazanish's chumrah. And if you're already following his chumrah, you can follow his kula also. Even though I don't understand the kula, he says, but I don't need his kula because I think it's mutter anyway, but we don't have to be more machmir than the Chazanish himself. So in his heart of hearts, Moshe thinks you can mash bananas for later also. But he thinks there's no issur altogether. You can mash it with a spoon, with a fork, with whatever you want, even for later in the day. But he doesn't want to go that far in Maisa. So he said, follow the Chazanish, but you can follow the Chazanish's kula. That's why the latest Svarim that come out in the last 50 years or so, in the Shabbos, they all quote the Chazanish. Because even Rav Moshe, at the end of the day, backed out and said, L'maisa to follow the Chazanish. So therefore, the Chachila, we tell people when they want to mash bananas or other things, potatoes, whatever, other kinds of avocados, whatever, anything you want, unless you want to mash anything, so then as long as you do it in an abnormal fashion, so you're doing it for right away, so in an abnormal fashion, yesh macham lachol. But sometimes there are other issues involved when you start mashing up stuff. Sometimes you want to put liquids into it, that becomes a whole other malach of lush. We don't have time for that, maybe another time, another place. But in terms of the two main malachas to keep in mind when preparing fruit and fruit salads and other vegetable salads on Shabbos, so issue number one is the issue of bayir. Issue number two is the issue of teichin. Each one works with its own rules, but there is a little bit of an overlap between the two, according to Rashi and the Ramah, that some of the kulas of Lialter will spill over to, not only from Bar, will spill over to teichin.
Okay.
Right, so the good thing about the eggs is that teichin doesn't apply because it's not going to do a character. So that would be less of a problem. There are other issues, and you want to make egg salad. That's where the Lisha Shaila is, but again, put that into the other time, the other place. If somebody asks me a shout out this week, maybe we'll talk about it next week. We'll see. What? Well, the onion, right? The cutting, right? The mash, the onion is a problem. The eggs is not such a problem. The onion, that's the most serious. Okay. So the peelers is a dip, it makes things a little. Okay, so the peeling of the cucumbers gets a little bit more complicated because it's according to some it's called the kliyam yuchal b'kach. It's a peel of shmakenu. So some wanted to ask for the peeling of cucumbers because even burr is only mutter if it's done biyad, it's done with kliyam salsa. So the Shabbos asked for the peeling of the cucumbers because of that. Others wanted to be master the peeling of the cucumbers. One of the reasons being because some of the peel remains
some of the cucumber remains behind, so maybe that may not be called bora, depending on what you think about that. And then there's also the fact that we said that the cucumber peel may be edible. So most people probably do eat it. Once in a while, pickles do eat cucumber peels. And then there's a whole general question about what exactly you think the peeling really is. Peeling really bora, maybe it's a different malacha, maybe klim yuchim chasim mutter. So there are different opinions on mice about using peels. So yesh, yesh. So those who permit, but even if you peel cucumbers, you know, you should really only do it for right away. So those who permit peels would permit it, and then others didn't accept peels. Okay. It's another potential shalom player. But Moshe writes that answer is only when your mama soak it. You must speak about insurance, it's a peyrus. That Moshe claims that means if you take a bucket of fruit and your mama soak it in water. If you just take an apple and run it under the water or something, so he doesn't think that's what the Gemara was talking about. And even if you are, he says it's being done for right away anyway. So even if it's borer, you're getting off some of the dirt. Even if it's borer, so it's borer for immediate use. And that's, again, there's no other way to do it. So you're allowed to do so in an ochel. And also, our food is not really so dirty. Our food says, the mice, you would probably eat it even without washing it anyway. So it's not really, it's not like muddy dirt like in the days of Chazal. That's a different, right. So that may be a burr. That may be more of a burr. The question is, do you really care about the wood? You don't really care about it. The question is, how much do people really care about it? In the olden days, the fruit is also filthy, but it's been washed by the stores. The stores don't put it into the, you know, before it gets to your table, it's already been washed 100 times over. You don't get a piece of apple. You have to go out to the field. You know, there's drill. You'll go take the stuff out of the field. It's filthy. By the time it gets to your table, it's been washed 100 times already. But people like to wash it 101 times off. Okay. Guacamole was not around the Lower East Side in the 1950s.
I was telling over some of the stuff. He said, what's the next one?
Maybe. What are you doing?